Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Steve, are you there?
Hey,
holy shit, you're loud.
there we go.
I was going to start off, you ruined it completely. I was going to start off with a quote from Game Masters. And then I started worrying. I'm like, I hope Steve is okay. It keeps saying, waiting to join.
Yeah, it was just sitting in the waiting room. And then eventually I just tried to do it again. And then the second time I tried it, it worked. It was really weird. Yeah. Don't normally have many Zoom issues, but when I've noticed that when Zoom has problems, it's always on joining. And I did hear recording in progress though, so we're not going to have a redux of last time.
Yes, we are going to be good this time.
Yes, but please indulge me with your quote from Game Masters.
Well, it doesn't matter now. I was just going to say you're out of your Vulcan mind, Steve. one of the great quotes from that episode of the Game Masters of Triskelion.
Yes, the Game Masters of Triskelion.
Triskelion, that's what it is.
How many Quatlus?
I wager 40 Quatlus on the newcomer. That's one of my favorite episodes. And
it's good. 500 Quatlus on the newcomer. Yes.
And it does have Angelique Pettyjohn in it, who is one of the classic Captain Kirk girls.
That girl is pretty fucking hot, not gonna lie. I ain't gonna mince words about that one. She was definitely hot.
She did pass fairly young, which is kind of sad, but
that's unfortunate.
Know. Yes, it's very unfortunate. She was also
that's pretty people in Hollywood, man.
Yes, she is also known for the other two big ones. Is she was in Repo Man, which is a movie that has a cult following that I don't really get. It's okay. And her last movie is more well known for its box art than an actual movie itself, which is The Wizard of Speed and Time. Now you never heard of that, but you're going to see the cover of it. You're going to go, I know that movie.
Oh yeah. I'm going to look up the cover right now.
It's a very famous video store rental movie.
I see.
Just because the cover is so, so good looking and the movie is utterly shit.
Yeah.
Yes. Also known for having Philip Michael Thomas in it. One half of Miami Vice in the movie. So there you go.
Oh, wait. I saw this movie when I was a kid.
I told you.
Yeah, you're right.
It is a classic video store rental because the box art really hides the fact that the movie is utterly shit.
Yeah. Well, I remember the costume.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I'm sure it's terrible, but I mean, I watched it as a child, because like it's the point where like I don't remember anything about this movie other than the costume.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. Yeah.
I mean, let's also like, you know, to be fully fair, that's a banging costume.
Is it now?
Yeah, absolutely. I would wear the hell out of that costume. It's a classic wizard look.
It is a classic wizard look. I'll give you that.
Poofy pants. He's got the pointy cowl. He's got stars on his robe. I mean, that's cool looking. That's definitely a dope wizard costume. I will absolutely say that. The movie might be, I'm sure the movie's complete dross, but I like the costume.
All right. So I did see Doctor Strange last night, and I will not be revealing any of the massive spoilers that are inside of it.
Yeah, because it's so strange.
It is so strange.
I wanted to see Doctor Strange, but you know, I have enough medical debt already, so I'll wait for Doctor Free.
I'm gonna wait for I'll wait for the European Doctor Strange with the free healthcare as opposed to the American Doctor Strange, which is funny because Doctor Strange is played by a British man doing a terrible American accent.
Is it a terrible accent? I don't know. He just sounds kind of weird to me.
It's a terrible American accent. I mean, look, I like Benedict Cumberbatch, but there was no reason for him to have to be an American, right? He could have been a British doctor. True.
They could have just used his regular voice now that you mentioned it.
Or just any British accent. It doesn't really matter. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be like his own accent. Yeah. But if he could do
The only other option is to do a perfect imitation of Vincent Price, which I mean, we all know that we all know that Doctor Strange is Vincent Price. Like, everyone knows that.
Well, we'll see. I have to look and see if I have any of my magic powers available.
You'll never get away with this, Dormammu.
Come to bargain, Dormammu. My eggs, they are covering the city.
I fucking love Vincent Price.
I'll cover the city in eggs.
Vincent Price is awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I try to go back and watch the old Vincent Price movies, like what is it? The Haunting of Hill House.
Haunting of Hill House? It's cheesy, but I like the movie.
Oh my god, it's so fucking boring.
Yeah, I mean, that's old movies though. A lot of old movies are like that. There's only a few that that cross the barrier.
You know what I like best about Doctor Strange though? No spoilers attached to it. Two things, actually. It was only 2 hours long, which is perfect. Like, I mean, I love a good 90-minute movie, but I'll give it the extra half hour for a big budget, action movie, just to get some fun scenes in there. But it did not fall into the trap that all sequels fall into, which there's two of them. One is that the character loses their power or voluntarily gives up their power for a normal life.
Oh man, that one's the worst. They did that. The worst part about that is they did that in the first fucking Fantastic Four movie.
Yes, and then they did it again in the second Fantastic Four movie. So you got that there. And then, or else they go to Europe. That's the other sequel. Like, every sequel goes to Europe. So once you realize that every sequel goes to Europe, big budget sequel goes to Europe, it's because the director is given a bigger budget. So he's like, fuck it, I want a free European vacation as long as I'm filming this movie. So that's why they do what they do. It becomes very obnoxious very quickly once you realize that pattern. Almost all sequels fall into it, especially Marvel sequels. Marvel sequels are really bad for doing that. But they don't do it not for the free vacation. They do it for the overseas markets.
Yeah, I mean, also, they're the most cookie-cutter movies possible, so they're all going to kind of emulate each other.
Well, let me tell you, this is not the most cookie-cutter sequel I've ever seen in my life. It's a Sam Raimi movie, first of all, and it definitely feels like a Sam Raimi movie. I was watching it the first 15 minutes. Now, granted, I was really fucking high seeing this movie. Let's just be honest. But the first 15 minutes of the movie, I'm like, man, this movie looks fucking fantastic for a Marvel movie. Like, normally Marvel movies look like shit. And, most of these movies. And I'm like, oh, wait, an actual director is directing these movies who knows.
It's Sam Raimi, clearly. I actually thought about this a little bit. I'm sure other people have said this too. So I guarantee it's not a unique thought. But I think horror movie directors end up being just kind of overall significantly better directors when they get pushed outside their genre with a budget. And my thought process behind this is because generally horror movies are low budget. That's the rule of thumb. It's like they don't usually give, like, no one's going to green light a multi-million dollar fucking Jason movie. It's just not going to happen.
Until they made Jason X.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, Jason X is terrible, but also great. So a lot of these horror directors, like the real good ones, like like Sam Raimi, Cronenberg, I always forget directors' names. Ari Aster, Ty West, and then
hasn't done anything that's mainstream, really, I don't think.
Yeah, true. But all the good horror directors, they all kind of have that, the guys who produce really good work with a lower budget. I think because of that experience, because they get used to working within such a tight constraint, they have to build skills that you don't necessarily need when you're a Jerry Bruckheimer doing these like gigantic fucking big budget skills. So they miss like a gap in their skill set. Suddenly when you give Sam Raimi Spider-Man, what movie did Sam Raimi direct before Spider-Man? It had to be Army of Darkness, right? Was there any movie in between Army of Darkness and Spider-Man?
So Spider-Man was 2000. So before that, it was either Love of the Game or it may have been Army of Darkness. The only reason he got Army of Darkness was because he did Darkman in the early 90s. So I think he did like Darkman, Army of Darkness, For the Love of the Game than Spider-Man, but I could be off on my timeline.
Yeah, Darkman's a dope movie too. So suddenly he's got a real budget with a back, like, you know, real money, a big studio, and he's like, oh, I can put, you know, I can put the dollars behind the skill set I had to build out of necessity. So suddenly you get amazing camera work. You get really good direction because of stuff that he had to do.
Oh my God, I forgot. Okay. So wait a second. It went Darkman, Army of Darkness, Quick and the Dead, Simple
Quick
Planet,
the Dead.
Love of the Game, The Gift, then Spider-Man. So
I love Quick and the Dead and I love A Simple Plan.
Yeah. All of those movies, even for The Love of the Game, which is not the best movie, is actually a very well-directed baseball movie.
It's not a movie I'd watch because it's baseball.
Yeah, I mean, it is a very non-Sam Raimi movie, but it's actually much better than people I think give it credit for.
Gotcha. So suddenly you have, for example, so many of the, I'd say like the Evil Dead and Army of Darkness to a lesser extent, just that franchise in general, like so much of the excellent camera work done in those movies, in my opinion, was done out of necessity because they didn't have the budget to make a terrifying forest monster. So how do you make a terrifying forest monster with no effects budget? Well, you set your camera up on a fucking roller and you run through the woods with it at weird angles. So like that kind of stuff.
Yes. There are plenty of Dutch angles in this movie. Some might say too many in Doctor Strange. Like, it's just Sam Raimi just decided not to have the camera straight up and down for any scene of the movie. But there are a couple like really fantastic shots in there. And I don't want to give too much away because the spoilers in this movie are fucking insane.
Well, I imagine it is because it's a multiverse movie, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's not as I was hoping for more multiverse, but I'm not going to say anything else because it's not you know, whatever on that end. But I want to move away because I don't want to spoil anything. I mean, if you wanted to spoil it, I'll spoil it later, but I won't spoil it on the cast. Or if I do,
I just won't watch it in theaters.
Yeah. I mean, if you want a spoiler, what we'll do is we'll do it at the very end of the podcast. Like, so generally right before I say, you know, until next time, Steve, I will say, okay, turn it off now. And if you don't want spoilers, and they could turn it off, and then I will tell the spoiler afterwards.
Nice. That sounds good.
Yeah. All right. So getting to actual gaming news, because we are Game Classy, a podcast that's tangentially related to gaming.
Yeah. I mean, we sometimes talk about games on here.
We sometimes talk about games. Warhammer Fest was this week.
Mm-hmm.
I
was alerted to something.
You were alerted to something?
I was alerted to something that I had predicted a while ago, but yes.
What were you?
They're back, baby. A Chaos Dwarf story.
A Chaos Dwarf story. Yeah, but they're not really Chaos Dwarves, though. Just Hashut is back.
I mean, yes, but I mean, come on.
Okay, so let's. I was going to do it in order, but if you want to, we could skip to Thursday. Thursday was the Warhammer Age of Sigmar release day. I think that was on Friday. Yeah, Friday was Warcry. So we'll skip to Friday, which was Warcry. They did release a new warband preview, and they are worshippers of Hashut, the Chaos Dwarf god. So those models have been released. What I really like about those models, though, is that they got goons. Like, they just have like peasant goons in that force. So you have like the big dudes, and then you just have like potato sack guys.
Yeah, bring it back to Mordheim. You remember Mordheim? Oh, that was one of the things about Mordheim that always was the case. Like, there were always just fucking ass goons in Mordheim.
Ass goons, I believe, is a proper term in military combat. Send in the ass goons.
Send in my ass goons. Yeah, sir, we're all out of ass goons.
That'll be good for like the leaders of the Horns of Hashut to be like, they'll have like, They're you know how they designate the characters, so they'll be like General, Captain, Askoons, and so the general, you know, General McClough of the Horns of Hashut would be like, send in the Askoons.
Yes,
and the Askoons can go forward and wreak havoc
Yes, while wearing their potato sack and wielding farmer's tools.
Yes. What is it? I can't remember the line from Henry IV, but whatever. So,
and there's the giant bull centaur. I mean, yeah, it's sick.
Yeah, and the bull centaur has four arms, which I don't know if that makes you a centaur. Dwarf. And it doesn't have a bull tail. It has like a long tail. So not really a bull centaur. Dwarf.
So we just call him a chaos tour.
Yeah, it's some sort of octoped. It's got eight arms.
No, the tour is the lower half. That's official. You could have like 20,000 arms, but as long as your bottom half is just a regular ass horse, you're a tour.
I tend to think that tour does not mean that in Greek.
Not in Greek, but fantasy / nerds have taken over. So now anything that has a quadrupedal
Let's
bottom.
Let's lump all nerds furry. Together. It's mostly furries, but
who would dare?
I'm just gonna be honest with yourself. It's mostly the furry population that's all about the tours.
It started with D&D with dragon tours.
Yes, it did start with D&D. I will give you that.
I'll say the furry community is most certainly run with it. But I mean, look, sometimes you want to see a fox tour and a wolf tour, both in Canadian tuxedos walking through the forest.
You know, you are correct. Sometimes you're just in the mood for something that's a little off the beaten path.
That is an actual painting. It's actually really well done. It's just very off-putting because it is a fox tour, a wolf tour, walking through a forest. It's an oil painting, like a professionally done oil painting, and they're both in complete Canadian tuxedo outfits. It's very weird.
Yeah, there's more power to them. That's what I say.
I mean, on the one hand, like, sure, but like, how are you going to wear a full denim outfit in the forest, man? That's just going to be Chape City.
It's true. Well, it depends. Like, what's the weather like? If it's a nice fall day, yeah, that's me nice. But I mean, if it's a hot summer day, no, you don't want that.
On a summer day, we're out. But yeah, on a fall day, you know, yeah, you know, yeah. maybe you got a granola bar in there. Yeah, you know, there's some trail mix. Yeah.
Some trail mix, you got some nuts, some M&Ms mixed in there.
Maybe a mini Mars bar.
Sorry if everything sounds a little more echoey on this cast. The Joe is moving, and Casa del Joe is the new Casa del Joe won't be ready till June, and my office is now cleaned out. So it's literally just my desk, my computer, and like my chair in this office with no sound absorbing equipment whatsoever. So, yeah. So I will be moving. I'm moving to the Lombard area, Steve. I am literally down the block from the original bunker.
Wow. You're really close. You're going to be really close to me then.
Yeah. But I'm very sad though, because the bunker is no longer there, of course.
So, yeah, I mean, it hasn't been there for a really, really long time.
Been there for a very long time. I mean, I'm actually closer to what's it called, Grognard's, than I've been in the past. So,
Well, that's
and
good.
Games Plus actually too. So,
Grognard is a quality game store.
Yes, it is, and they just got the expansion, so now they have tables.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. And did we ever mention that Young Giuseppe became manager there? I don't remember if we mentioned that on the cast. I know it's been a long time. He's been a manager for almost a year now at this point. Or
yeah,
over a year.
He's no longer a sales boy. He's a salesman.
No, he's still a sales boy to me.
You can always be the sales boy of our hearts.
Sales boy of our hearts, Giuseppe, Young Giuseppe. So let's talk about some of the other stuff that was talked about on Friday. So that way we could just go through. These are all the mini games, or the small box games. There's a new Kill Team set that's getting released. They've been doing this for Kill Team for like, they do like two of these a year, like these box sets. Mm-hmm. I picked up one because they had the Death Guard and the Orcs in it. And I really just liked the sculpts of everything in there. So I was like, okay, I'm going to pick up this box set. I got it fairly cheaper, but it's like out of print now, and they're releasing this box set, but all of the models in this box set, I'm not 100% sure, but I think they're just re-releases of minis that were in other box sets. So you have the Chaos, there's a Chaos Guard in the box, but I think they're the same Chaos Guard that was in Blackstone Fortress, just to be fair. I could be wrong on that. I don't care to look it up, but I think that is the case. As well as the Sergeant and Abhuman that were in a what's it called? A expansion box for Blackstone Fortress.
I mean, that's probably good though, because I know a lot of times, especially with Age of Sigmar, like that kind of repack would be very beneficial because those box sets generally have like, you know, the minis are only in this box set, and then the box set goes out of print, and then like the gouging commences for those minis.
I was just gonna mention that I believe that now Blackstone Fortress is out of print. And if anybody wants to buy it now, okay, first of all, Blackstone Fortress is a fantastic game. The minis are all ace, and the game is fairly cheap online now because people are dumping them because it's no longer being supported. So you can buy a copy for about $100, and it is a fantastic game. So pick it up now, because once it's gone, it's good. That game's gonna rock it up in price to like $300-$400. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah, five years from now, that's going to be one of the games that's just like, yeah, you want it, it's $600.
Yeah, well, maybe not that much, but it'll definitely be probably $300 to $400 to buy a complete set. Mm. And so I would just recommend that if you were on the fence about it, buy it now. Because already the expansions, which were low print run anyway, because the vast majority of, because a good chunk of them happened during COVID. Those expansions, which are difficult to find now, are going for a ton of money. So just keep that in mind as well. If you got them, you know, keep them as they were. And then it's got like some random Primaris Marines in there. So, and like nobody gives a shit about random Primaris Marines.
I mean, I'm sure one person does.
Oh man, I'm gassy today. for Lord of the Rings, they're doing the Bearmen of the Bjornings.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, they're very nice sculpts. Necromunda is actually releasing a squat warband, and they're calling them squats, which is pretty funny. Yeah, they're not the League of Votan, but it specifically says that like these aren't the League. They've been away from the League for, you know, hundreds of years. They call themselves squats. So it's kind of interesting how they're doing that. I really enjoy it. I can't think of what they look like to me. They look like something I've seen before, but I can't figure out where it's from, like from another mini line, and I can't figure it the fuck out, and I don't know why. And I usually have like a really good recall on minis. Like I have like almost like a Rain Man-esque high functioning autistic way of remembering every bit and piece from a mini, but I can't place it with these guys, and I can't, it's bothering me because they probably look similar to something, but just enough difference that it's like it's throwing me off. They look a little similar to the squats that Mantic did, but not enough that's the thing that's reminding me of it, because they look similar to that anyway,
right?
You know, and not to say that the Mantic squats were that unique of an army, because they just ripped off the GW squats.
So. I mean, they were dwarf space marines. Yeah, like they're if you wanted squats, they're exactly what you want, really.
Yes. And speaking of, that was that Friday. So going back to Wednesday, they did their 40K release, which was kind of weak, but whatever. They didn't have a ton. This is not a 40K year. They did show the first squat trike, the Votan trike. It is a hover trike, which makes it immediately bullshit. I'm happy that people are excited about the squats. I don't like the new aesthetic that much. I think they look too, I don't know. I can't describe it.
They don't look like squats.
Mm-hmm.
Like that has been my comment about that release since you sent me that picture, because you sent me that picture and I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like I'm like, it just looks like some dude. And then you're like, oh, it's the squats. And I was like, what? Like, it doesn't look like a fucking squat, because they don't look like squats. They just look like, I'm sure if you see them next to other models, it would make, you know, it works. But in my opinion, they just don't look like squats. Like it just looked like a generic, like it looked like a guardsman in some kind of power armor.
Yeah.
Nothing about that model like screamed to me like, oh, this is a squat.
Yeah. I mean, squats to me were always biker dudes. That's what it always is. Like squats to me are bikers. They're like Harley Davidson riding, Hell's Angels, you know, the bikers.
Yeah. And Ag Terminators.
Yeah. And then you had the Egg Terminators, yes. but they, yeah, that's what they were always to me. And I always kind of, I feel like I have to see more. I mean, we've only seen like three models from this entire range so far. So let's be honest. And we don't know quite what the range is going to look like. But as for right now, I'm still not convinced.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to be convinced until there are egg Terminators.
Until there are egg Terminators, that's right. The ancestor. Well, what were they called? Well, I know they're just called Terminators, but I can't remember the actual term for it. And they had Terminators on bikes too. I have one.
that's awesome.
Yes,
and they're also egg riding a bike.
So they're doing. They are also doing the Chaos Space Marines. Are they coming out?
And yes, they updated their rules because the Chaos Space Marines were fucking buns, and they gave them some better.
They gave them two wounds.
They gave them two wounds, which is good. I mean, they were useless before, so now people might actually use a Chaos Space Marine.
Yes, and it doesn't also help that the vast majority of the Chaos range is so old and out of date, like it badly needed updates. And they're doing a World Eaters Codex soon. They haven't really talked too much about it. They've shown some of the weapons. But what that probably means is you're probably going to get Demon Angron released for 40K, finally. Finally!
Yep. Yes.
Which is really funny because when I saw the pictures of the chain axes that they're releasing, I immediately looked at them and I went, huh. I wonder where I can find the STLs for these files and for these 3D prints. And I was like, oh, wait, that's officially Games Workshop. Oh, shit. Yeah, I was like,
do they have the Cornate Chain Axes? Yes, they do.
Oh, my Renegados. So I thought that was kind of interesting, at least. I don't really care about anything else. The Demon Prince looks pretty cool. I don't know if you saw the new Demon Prince.
I did not. I haven't been.
It's a fine sculpt. I've never been a huge like demonic chaos fan. I always think that it goes a little too over the top for me. It does not fit my painting style too much. Like chaos has always like been more interesting as a concept than an actual paint job for me.
I've always liked the chaos stuff. The chaos demons. That was like, I think I painted more like, and for commission work too. I think I painted more chaos demon armies than any other army.
Yeah, and you know, it's just not my style. I'm not a huge fan of how it looks. It's too busy, too many fiddly bits.
There aren't a lot of fiddly bits, especially when you get guys who really want you to do the color transitions on your purple or the screamers of Zinch and shit.
Yeah. What I do like about the cast, about the new Demon Prince is A, he's plastic, and B, he does have multiple heads. So he has like one generic head, demon head, and one for each of the Chaos gods. So there's like a Khorne, Nurgle, Slaanesh, and Zinch head.
Oh, that's sweet.
And they're not like, they're fairly identifiable as the specific Chaos power. So it looks pretty nice.
Good.
So I do like that, but the model itself is kind of like, this is a busy model. This model is real busy.
I sometimes like real busy and sometimes I don't, depending on what I got to paint. Like I would never paint a Chaos Space Marine again. just because I don't want to paint that fucking armor trim.
So what, holy fuck. What the fuck? My Zoom account is now has a 40-minute time limit. I didn't know that they took that off already. Yeah.
I thought you had the real deal Zoom.
No, I don't have the real deal Zoom. I'm not paying for that shit. You kidding me? So just to let you know, in 9 minutes we're gonna have to log back in to finish. Yes. Just so you know. Because I had it running for a little bit of time before you logged in, before we got it. So then on, what was it? What Thursday they did Age of Sigmar, and on the Age of Sigmar, there's a new Deathmaster, Snitch, whatever they're calling him. Mm-hmm. He's plastic. It looks really nice. I thought it was like an Underworlds model, but it's not. It's actually a Deathmaster. There's a whole new Sylvaneth part of the army. I never liked the Sylvaneth too much. But the models are fine. I'm just not like a tree person fan. I've never looked at a grove of trees and said, you know what I want to wish? I wish these trees were an army so that they could fight.
You know, normally I agree, except I really liked, and like, I shouldn't say liked, I really like the Middle Earth ones. The Middle Earth Treant army, I thought that they looked really cool. I think that they did a good job with the sculpts and they made them look
But that's because you generally only have to run four of them.
Right. I mean, I agree with that. But also I think the busyness of the Age of Sigmar designed trees are kind of like a detriment to that. Because the Middle Earth ones are a bit more simple. So when you use the various bits allowed, the treants all look very distinct from one another, and they're also not just like they're not kitchen sink. I feel that the Age of Sigmar designs for all the tree stuff is very kitchen sink.
Yeah,
I mean, there's so much shit on those figures. Like, it's just like there's so much shit going on.
Yeah, I don't know necessarily if I'd say kitchen sink. I just say that they're super busy. And like, I like the part ghost thing, but I think it's a little, you know, whatever. And they have like, they're flying around on bugs, which are fine, but the bugs are also super kind of busy. And they look like they'd just be difficult to paint. Like, there's a lot
which
of
is painting. Weird too, because Ariana's, her bug is not busy. It's just a giant beetle.
Yeah.
It's like a beetle.
I don't know. I kind of feel like it's like, okay, the Sylvaneth, they're, you know, a very early army in Age of Sigmar. Like, we don't really need, do we need to add stuff to that army, or can we just leave it as is and just be done with it? Let's focus our resources on something new.
Hell if I know, man. All I know is that the goblins are really bad. That's the only thing I know about Age of Sigmar right now.
Goblins.
Yeah, the goblins are really, really bad.
So they also announced that they're doing a new Cities of Sigmar army that's going to be completely sculpted from scratch. So they're not going to be using the old Warhammer, the old world models, which they're probably doing that because they're going to re-release the old world models for when they do the old world. So they don't want to have. Yeah. So they'll probably just repackage those models as the old world and they'll have new Cities of Sigmar, Free Cities people. They've shown some like 3D designed objects and gubbins as well for that. So that'll be. And once again, I would look at it and went, oh, I wonder who designed these STLs that I can download and print. Workshop.
It's fantastic.
Yes. I play the video. they have the new General's Handbook coming out. I will not be buying the new General's Handbook. I don't like the spiral bound. I think it's ugly and it doesn't fit on your shelf.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a gaming book. It's meant to be in your gaming bag, not in your shelf. So I can see it.
Yeah, but it's only good for 1 year. Then they release another one, which means correct. That it will go on your shelf.
Well, I believe the intention is that you discard it when it's when the new one comes out.
Fucking anti-consumption motherfuckers. Like,
I'm just saying. I think that's the idea. It's because like it's like this book is basically it's a book with a shelf life. Yeah. Ironically, not to be on your shelf.
Yeah, it's the Toy Story meme of him going, I don't want to play with you anymore, and it's throwing it on the ground.
Because I mean, as someone who has a bunch of the General's Handbooks, like they're functionally useless once the new one comes out, unless you like happen to want to like run an older version of the game, which is weird. Like, there's really no reason to keep any old General's Handbooks, like, because they don't have hobby content. They don't have obviously you remember old Warhammer books, but like one of the things that was good and one of the reasons why you would always keep older Warhammer product is because there's always hobby content, and there was hobby content in every book.
Yeah,
every single book had hobby content.
There was great hobby content, there was lore, even as a rule set, the rules were, it was just nicely done. The books were all very well done.
And then you had like, you know, like terrain building.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was always stuff like that. That kind of stuff doesn't exist in the General's Handbook. So there's very little reason to keep any of the old ones.
Yeah. I mean, like, but I like them on my shelf because I think they look nice. And it's not necessarily going to do that anymore.
Right,
because they're the spiral bound, which is fine, but it's not gonna It's not happening, Steve. It's not happening. Right. I'm not buying
it. They're a function over form for sure. Because I mean, having a spiral bound book like that for like when you're gaming is really great. Being able to, you know, set it down, have pages open and sit there. Because as I remember the last game of Age of Sigmar I was playing, I was constantly like opening a book to the same page and I had to like let the book close because I couldn't leave it open. Yeah, I can see it.
All right. So I'm going to end here and then we'll restart again with the new Zoom link.
Very good.
And we're back at Dinosaur Story. It'd be awesome if we actually had sponsors or something, so I could actually have inserted a commercial there without it interrupting the flow of the podcast.
One of a podcast I listen to pretty frequently. It's called M Class Podcast. It's like the only podcast I've ever listened to about Star Trek. One of the things they do that I actually find awesome is when they do a break, and maybe it's because they're also using Zoom. I actually don't know, but they do breaks in the middle of each episode, and they just put in an old commercial. So they do like a commercial break, like they do the after these messages we'll be right back. And then they play like an old like McDonald's commercial for like Klingon toys. It's like, if you can't understand Klingonese, he's telling you to go to your toys to get, or to go to McDonald's to get your child a Star Trek meal with a Star Trek prize. And then
I'm a big fan of, I know you did, I don't know what, but I'm a big fan of Mission Log, which is a Star Trek podcast. They actually have gone through every episode of every Star Trek series, including the animated series, the original film list, all of the Next Generation. And I believe they did all of the seasons of DS9 and they just started doing Voyager.
That is not like M Class.
they started in 2012. I remember because I was listening to them quite a bit that early. And I think I listened through most of like season two or three of Next Gen. And I had to stop because I ended up for whatever reason, I had to stop. But I listened to season six because I listened to season six of Next Gen because I listened to Relics. I remember listening to Relics, which is, of course, one of everyone's favorite episodes of Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Are you sure about that?
Relics. That's the Scotty episode, dude.
Oh, wait. Scotty. I was thinking of fucking... For some reason, my brain got it twisted and I thought of Masks.
No. Man, yes. Are you playing Suck Disc?
I was playing Suck Disc earlier. My bad.
Everyone loves Suck Disc.
Everyone loves Suck Disc.
Two C's. Suck.
Yeah. Suck.
Speaking of which, Ashley Judd's mom just died. So Naomi Judd, one half of the famous country western super duo, the Judds.
I see.
And so getting back to Age of Sigmar, the Ogroid Theridons were also released, which are awful fucking figures. Jesus Christ. So remember how we made fun of the Minotaurs, the plastic Minotaurs from back in the day?
Oh yeah, they were horrible.
So they took those Minotaurs and just gave them ogre heads. Like they're literally those Minotaur bodies with ogre heads. Now, the thing that fucking sucks is that Games Workshop has released a couple of these Ogroid Theridons before. They've released like a mage one, and I think there was like a special character one that they did for Warcry. Yeah,
they looked cool. They were in Warcry. We looked dope, and then the one in the Silver Tower looked dope.
Yeah, and so they released a multi-part plastic kit for Age of Sigmar, and they're fucking awful looking. They're just too muscular. They just look like a 12-year-old designed them.
Is it the sculptor, is the paint job? Because I came to discover that a lot of the horribleness of those Minotaurs, not that the Minotaur models are amazing, because they're not, but the paint jobs, the official GW paint jobs of those Minotaurs make them look way worse than they are.
I think it's a combination of both, but the fact that their head is like midway down their chest, and they have like a huge crest on the back, like this hair crest that's looks completely awful manufactured, like tooled. It's awful looking.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So I was relatively disappointed. I looked at them and I said, what the fuck? Are we back in like 2018? Why would they release this?
That's awesome.
Yeah. The Ogroid Myrmidon, which was the other one that they did, is really cool and dynamic. And he's muscular, but not like ridiculously muscular that it makes him look cartoonish. Like, yeah, it's cartoonish, but it's not, it doesn't have to look cartoonish. Mm-hmm. These look cartoonishly bad. And like the Thermaturge, I don't remember what that's called. Also, really fucking cool pose, very similar, muscular, but not cartoonish. It looks like a fantasy monster as opposed to a fucking 12-year-old cartoon. 12-year-old right. cartoon.
Well, yes. I
don't say there's anything wrong with that, but whatever.
I mean, there's Exo Squad.
Didn't. Oh, wait, that's not the Exo Squad theme. They're also doing two special characters from the books, the New Age of Sigmar books. They're doing a Caradon Overlord and a vampire dude. The vampire guy looks pretty cool. I'm not a huge fan of the paint job. I think it makes it look really weird. But the Caradon Overlord is a very nice sculpt. However, it's like one of the most classic GW sculpt poses of all time. So it just looks like every other fucking GW pose. So I'm like looking at it, I'm just like, this looks like every fucking miniature Games Workshop ever does as a special limited time miniature.
My favorite pose is still the Ragnar Blackmane.
Is the Ragnar Blackmane?
Yeah, that's the standing with the legs splayed and the arms facing in cardinal directions.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly how it works.
Good stuff. It just reminds me of HeroQuest because like a lot of the models in HeroQuest are positioned like that.
Yeah,
they have the fist on the side holding the axe they're holding the scythe. Yeah, I love that stuff.
Well, as I always tell people, like people are always like so fascinated with the idea of the hero pose, right? And like heroic scale, like people are always like, well, why is it called 28 millimeter heroic? And I go, you got to understand that back in the 90s or the 80s, going all the way that far back, that the people who were sculpting these figures were not professional sculptors. These were like hobbyists or people who maybe were like had an art background and were like, okay, well, I'll just sculpt something, make a couple bucks here, a couple bucks. Like no one went into becoming a minis designer. Like the Perry brothers were not miniatures, were not fantasy miniature designers, right? Where they became like the default ones because of what they did. And it was just, they were just like, well, we'll try this. And then people were just sculpting. And because they were amateurs, they would create these huge fists and huge heads. And people were like, I like this. I like the big head. And that's just became like the default.
Yeah. That's because people liked painting the easier to paint details.
Yeah.
That's like, cause like when you go to put, like when you paint,
Steve,
like
no one paints these fucking models.
I'm talking about when people did. Okay. Not when they just collected them.
Oh my God.
And
they would use those brushes. For that were like had a plastic handle,
yeah, baby,
and enamels.
Ugh. Yes, oh, testers enamels. Yes, like I don't know why it's not working on my model. It worked on my car. but like it's because like when you go and you paint,
why can't I touch my models? I'm using this oil paint. Oil paint should dry.
When I was painting, you know, a lot, I got a commission job to do an Infinity Army, and I was like, sure. I mean, they're the same scale as Warhammer. It'll be, you know, no problem. And oh my God, like no, it's not. Like you want to see a true scale 28 millimeter model? Paint some Infinity models. Oh, the hands. Oh God,
oh,
the hands.
Oh, the hands.
Yeah. Yeah, basically yes. That's what it felt like. that was a brutal realization of like just how exaggerated the proportions on a GW figure actually are. Like going from painting mostly GW to then painting Infinity, you can really be like, oh, I see. I understand. If you want to intrinsically understand what heroic scale means, paint one Games Workshop 28 millimeter model, then paint one Infinity 28 millimeter model. You will understand from then on.
Yes. All right. And so then the big release this year was the Horus Heresy release that was on Saturday, that today actually, right before we recorded it, came out. Like everyone else had, like they had the reveals at night in the UK, and so we'd get it here in the mornings at 11, but they, since today is Saturday, they did the releases early and they were done at like 3 a.m. our time. So, I mean, there's, I'm just going to be honest. There was nothing reveal. Well, there was a couple of reveals that were a little outside of the, what we'd already talked about. So they are doing the box set, the Warhammer Age of Darkness box set, Warhammer Horus Heresy Age of Darkness box set with 40 Space Marines, two Captain models, a Dreadnought, a plastic Land Raider Spartan, and 10 plastic Terminators.
More like a plastic Land Raider Fartin. Yes.
Yeah. Fartin. All of which is, I believe, brand new with the exception of the Terminators. The Terminators are older sculpts. It comes with, of course, Red Whippy Sticks, which I believe is, this might be the first re-release of the Red Whippy Sticks. I'm not 100% sure.
That is definitely the first release of the Red Whippy Sticks since probably, what was the last Warhammer square
base? Warhammer 8th, probably.
Yeah, right? The Island of Blood.
Was it Island of Blood? Because they didn't do Red Whippy Sticks for Sigmar, right?
There were no Red Whippy Sticks for Sigmar, as far as I remember.
And I don't, you know, I'm not 100% sure on what came inside the 40K 8th edition box sets that dropped. You know, like the starter set. Right. Not 100% sure what the Whippy Stick, and if there was any Whippy Sticks in there. But I'm just going to say this is the return of the Red Whippy Stick.
Yes, I think that's fair.
So people who don't know, the Red Whippy Stick is a measurement device that measures out in inches because, you know, God loves America. And so, but they are a very long plastic stick. And they're whippy sticks because you use them to whip the people around you, correct, Steve?
Oh, absolutely. Every single child running a demo game, we actually had to slice the sticks into smaller chunks so the children would stop whipping each other with the whippy sticks.
Yes, and sword fighting with them.
Yes, we had to reduce their size.
They do leave massive welts when you hit them. They have enough tensile strength to just bend slightly with when you whip them hard. So you get that little extra when it hits you.
It's true. It's absolutely true. Yeah, I was.
It's true. All of it's true.
All of it's true.
Somehow Palpatine has returned.
Somehow Palpatine has returned.
Somehow the Red Whippy Sticks have returned.
Somehow the Red Whippy. Yes, there we go. Somehow the Red Whippy Sticks have returned. Oh man, what a fucking piece of shit movie that was.
But that was when I saw that, I was like, that was the most exciting part of the whole thing to me, was the return of the Red Whippy Stick. I'm going to get the box set and they're going to replace it with like some like blue one or something. That's like what they did with the Hobbit. I think the Hobbit had like the bigger blue sticks.
Yes.
Cause Age of Sigmar, I think had the clear ones. Like it was like a, almost like a piece of like laminate or something like that. It was like a clear piece of plastic. It was not the whippy sticks.
Mm-mm.
But it also comes with the return of the white Games Workshop dice with the white scatter die. So it's like an old school release.
Nice.
And it also has the templates as well, you know, the standard flame template and the 5-inch, 3-inch templates. Some very nice water slide transfers, full rule book. They still have not said the price on it. I believe that it's £200 in Europe and in the UK.
That's expensive.
What's that?
I said that's expensive.
It is expensive. So it's probably going to be about 300 USD, which, you know, but this is the splash release. It's not the the official like army box. That's going to be for Horus Heresy. Games Workshop has this theory. What they've been doing lately is when they release a box set, they do this big splash box set that has like all of the shit in it. And then they do smaller starter sets. Like they'll do like a $100 one. So like the splash boxes have been like $200 lately. Then they'll have like a $100 get into the game, which comes with less stuff. And then they do like a $50 one, which comes with like a unit and a dude. Like, right. Like that's it.
A single onion.
But the problem is that usually what I've seen is that the big boxes, like the splash release boxes, generally have been sticking around for a little longer than Games Workshop wants them to. I know the Sigmar 3 Ed one did not sell as well as they wanted it to.
No, it did not. Well, I mean, I think the end result of that one was they didn't understand their own edition, because now that the edition is kind of like pretty much competitively shaken out, like what people are using, like what, or maybe not even competitively, but just like what's good is like basically everything in that box set except for the Angel and the Orc Bolt Thrower guys is worthless.
Yeah.
Like just kind of, and it's not because that they're like bad on paper. It's just like you don't use them, because like if you're playing in a tournament, you're using a Stormcast army, you're probably using the Dragon army. You're not using anything else, so you're only using the Dragon models, nothing else. So everything in there, none of the models in there are Dragon models. And then like with the Orcs, the same thing. You're probably using big monsters and the bow guys, and that's it. So like it's just the way the game shook out is like everyone's just using monsters. So like the game is very monster centric, as you know, when turns out when you give monsters every fucking good rule, it's a big difference in the game.
Well, the nice thing about the Horus Heresy box set is that the Space Marines themselves are the backbone of every army in Horus Heresy. So 40 of them basically gives you what I say everybody should start with if they do play Horus Heresy. Start with a big block of 20 guys. Every army, regardless if you use them or not, it's a good way of starting the army is having those 20 guys, that big block, because you could break them up into a unit of 10, do two units of 10, do a unit of 10, and then take the other 10 guys and maybe give them specialist weapons or heavy weapons and do whatever with that. But that's what's nice is that Horus Heresy, what they revealed, and this is something I didn't know, which I found interesting, is that they are releasing specialist weapon upgrade sets. So they're releasing a box that's just got 60 guns in there, and it's like you get 10 plasma, 10 melta, 10 flamer, 10 volkite, so you get 10 of each of the specialist weapons, which is pretty cool in my opinion. So you actually get a fuck ton of stuff that, and you just have to buy the box set and you have a ton in there. The heavy weapon set, it's a little crazier. Like you get they're doing like three box sets for the heavy weapons. You'll get like 30 in just about everyone except one of the box sets, weirdly enough, only has, okay, so you have one box set has 10 missile launchers and 10 heavy bolters. Another box set has 10 flamers, 10 multi-multas, 10 plasma. And the other one has 10 Volkite, 10 las cannon, 10 auto cannon. So it's like, why didn't they just throw another gun into the one box that only has 20 that they're probably going to sell at the same box price as the 30? I don't get it. It doesn't make sense. It's weird.
It is kind of weird. Maybe the sculpts are similar. The Chevy Bolter and the other one is just like a barrel swap, but like the arms are the same. I don't fucking know.
I like consistency in what I'm seeing. The weird thing is that almost all of the heavy weapons are the underslung, like they're carrying them with two hands, except for the missile launcher, the heavy plasma, and the las cannon are all shoulder mounts, like the old second edition ones.
Right.
You know. So you know, I find that fairly odd on why they did it that way. I don't know why, and it confuses me, and I want to scream. Well,
aren't the Chevy Bolters supposed to be shoulder mounted for during the Horus Harissa?
Well, I mean, it doesn't really matter. You can do underslung or shoulder. They've released both from Forge World. I don't know why they were so inconsistent with this release. Like they could have done all underslung and then released a second set of box sets that are all shoulder.
Considering they're Space Marines, I'm pretty sure they were just like, yeah, just do it.
Yeah, people buy it. People like Space Marines.
Yeah, just do it.
You know, and these are all beaky Space Marines, so they all look, you know, like Rogue Trader ones anyway.
Yes, of course. Everyone wants the beakies.
Everyone wants the beakies. Do you have any of the beaky helmets?
I was really disappointed by the amount of beakies I got in my box.
Are we doing our Benedict Cumberbatch impressions?
No, that was an actual dude at the bunker.
I just wanted to go back to our earlier conversation about Benedict Cumberbatch's British accent.
If we were doing Benedict Cumberbatch, we should do it.
I'm going to talk with my American Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yes, that's exactly it. See, I can talk like Benedict Cumberbatch when he speaks as an Englishman. And by English, I mean speaking English as an American.
It's an American man. I enjoy football and not that soccer. I like American football. Yeah. My favorite team is the Dallas Cowboys.
I only like coffee, not tea.
Exactly. I am American. and they also previewed two new vehicles. They did the Deimos Rhino, which is the old Rogue Trader Rhino. They're releasing a plastic set of that. And ironically, I've seen better 3D prints of the Rhino. And they released one tank that's fucking batshit crazy. We knew it was coming out. If you follow Horus Heresy, it was called the Kratos. It was like, it looked like a Sakaaran tank, but with a big turret on the top, like a Baneblade turret on the, not Baneblade, a Fellblade turret on the top. Mm-hmm. But it kind of looks like garbage. I'm going to be honest here. It looks like they let the designers design too much. Like, it literally should have just been a Sakaaran tank with a turret on top. A gunnery turret, but they made it into a very boxy looking tank, and I'm not a big fan of it. There's too many guns. It looks too busy. It looks like something from 40K as opposed to 30K. I'll just say that.
All right.
Yeah, I'll wait for someone to design a 3D printed model of it and just print it out myself instead of spending, you know, $200 on this thing.
I'm hoping that like the weather stops being shit for spray priming at some point, because I would like to spray paint my Age of Sigmar army.
Yeah, I'm
it has been brutal, man. Like every time I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna spray paint today, it's either been raining, too cold, raining and too cold. The one time it was fucking snowing. Like every weekend day I've been like, yeah, I'm gonna spray the army this today. Like even today it's too cold to spray.
There's been, I think, like two nice days in the last month and a half, like days without rain or overcast. And one was above 60. It's supposed to finally start getting nice this week, which is good because that's when I'm putting my house up for sale. So hopefully someone will buy it and pay lots of money for it. So I can afford my new house that I've already bought. Because Steve, you can't sell a house without buying a house first, because the houses sell so fast that you'll be homeless before you could find a house that you like.
I see.
That's how insane it is right now in the market. Insane. And it won't change for another 5 years, Steve. 5 years.
Well, I look forward to the next collapse.
That won't happen for 5 years. And I don't even know if it's going to be a collapse. I think the bigger problem is that people just aren't building houses that are affordable anymore. So because prices are so high on lumber and labor, that to build a house, in order to make any profit off it, you have to sell it for over $400,000. And it's a tiny house for over $400,000. And I'm not talking like tiny as in like my house that I just bought is 2,200 square feet. I'm talking like these houses that they're selling for $400,000 that are brand new are like 1,200 square feet.
Well, geez, Joe, with the way you're talking, it almost sounds like capitalism isn't sustainable.
Really? No, but I'll finally actually have in my new house, I'll have a gaming room. So I'm very super excited about that. Like a room dedicated to just a gaming table, my cases, my display cases, and my rules. I'm so excited about that.
Nice.
Yeah. And it'll have storage for my minis that I don't have to like put in a crawl space. They can actually be stored in a proper way that I can have access to them on the reg.
The itis will be splayed out for all to see.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've been very good lately. 3D printing has curbed the itis quite a bit.
Oh, that's good.
I don't know. I can't tell you the last time I bought like an official model from anything. Oh, I can, because I've bought a couple models here and there, but nothing like I used to.
Nice.
The only time I'd ever, I think, buy any sort of official models is, well, I'm buying the Horus Heresy box set. So box sets will probably be if I get an official model, but most of the time I'm just parting those out anyway. Like, I really don't need them. Like, in this box set that I'm getting, this Horsey Heresy box set, one of the problems with it is that everything in it is a new sculpt except the Terminators, and they increase the size of the Space Marines, but not the Terminators. So now the Space Marines are bigger than Terminators, and that shouldn't be.
That is a bit awkward, isn't it?
Yeah. And so then you go to 3D printing and you have the exact same Terminators you have the files for, because they're so easy to build that someone has created them in 3D in 5 seconds. Then you can just increase the size in 3D and print them out, and they become bigger than the regular Space Marines again. So it's like, why bother buying the plastic Terminators when you can get better sized and detailed ones online?
Right.
So that's just part of it as well. But I think the only thing that I would actively seek out to buy if I had was any metals. I'm looking personally, like, my collection wise, my newest thing has been trying to find classic Rel Partha stuff still in package.
Oh, nice. Like, I like that old Rel Partha stuff. It's cool.
Yeah. I'm looking for older Rel Partha monsters, like the old Jabberwock miniature, or like the Demigorgon, or any of that stuff, like, you know, classic D&D monsters, Displacer Beasts, Rust Monsters, Beholders, any of that stuff I'll look for. Like the Beholder that had to be cast in two parts because they can't cast a ball of lead. Yes. Like that. So it's like they're like two halves, empty halves, and you have to glue on each of the eye stalks.
But does it have the butthole?
Yes, I don't believe they actually had buttholes on the old ones.
That's a shame. I think it's a Reaper Beholder that has the butthole.
It might be.
It's very funny. Like, it is straight up, like, it just has a gigantic butthole. It's really great.
Oh my god, this model. I pulled up the original Beholder and it's fucking horrendous.
I mean, the original Beholder was literally a circle. Like, they didn't even have any texture. So, like, hopefully that's what it looks like. A circle with no texture.
Well, this one has some texture. I was looking at this is an older one. This has texture on it as well. I'm not quite sure when they came out, but what I want is I want the Advanced Dungeons and Dragons second edition miniatures by Rel Partha. Those are the blisters that I'm looking for.
Ah, right. Okay.
So they have like they're the blue background with the wizard on it. The typewriter text on it that says like Beholder. You know, that's what I'm looking for. I'm not necessarily finding a ton of them, but I found some of them. Right on. But you know, it's like, that's a good thing to like, I generally, when I want to collect something, I generally want to find something that is not like super collectible where you can't find anything on it.
Right. Right.
But I also don't want it to be really difficult to find. So there's a balance.
Didn't they reprint a lot of the Rel Partha models too? Like, didn't they reprint like a lot of them? Like,
oh yeah,
like
they're, for a long they're, time? They're not that difficult to find, especially if you want to find them loose. They're all over the place loose. You could find all sorts of Rel Partha shit loose. But the problem with that is that there were so many gaming miniatures companies in the 80s and 90s putting out minis that it's really hard to know which is Rel Partha and which is Harlequin or whatever have you. You just got to have an eye for it to know. Rel Partha, generally, you could tell because it's smaller. They're smaller, thinner figs than normal. Because they actually got real sculptors to do their stuff.
Right.
So they're generally adequately proportioned, as opposed to most other fantasy games that would just have amateurs.
Yes.
Yeah. So hopefully once I get into my new house and I get everything all set up in there, I will be able to put up some pictures for people to see the new new gaming den. I have a gaming den and I have an office to work with, which I'm very super excited about.
Well, the Joe Zone.
The Joe Zone, if you will.
Yeah, the Joe Zone layer.
And I will also have I'll have my 3D printing station, so I'll be able to 3D print again.
Hey.
Hey.
I am, so right now the big gaming thing I'm waiting for is the weather to clear up to the point where I can actually spray paint this fucking Age of Sigmar army. My goals are to get it spray painted in one weekend and then get it painted in another weekend.
So there you go. All right. So
That's what I'm shooting for.
That's what you're shooting for. It should be nice. I think I want to say that the weather's changing on like Wednesday.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe next weekend
or Tuesday. Will be Tuesday, it looks like it's going to start getting nice.
Yeah, I'm hoping that next weekend is the paint weekend, and then the weekend after will be the spray weekend, and the weekend after will be the paint weekend.
Yeah,
so that's what I'm hoping. I've got a pretty efficient contrast based paint plan, so I think it should work out. The only question is the eternal one of like, will I have enough paint to work?
Yeah, we'll see. All right. Well, then, thank you for listening to Game Classy. If you'd like to get in contact with us, you can. Best way is to follow us on Game Classy Facebook page. It's the best way to get in contact with us. You could all like, comment, subscribe on the YouTubes. You could follow Steve on the Twitters at @command_throw. Right.
That's right. That's right.
Nice. And you can follow me on the Instagram. I'm Game Classy Joe. I have not posted anything in a while because I don't have anything. My office is bare bones. I feel like Lenny, where he's like, don't tell people how I live.
Please don't tell anyone how I live.
So, yes, there's that. Do I have anything else that normal spiel? No.
You wanted to talk about Doctor Strange spoilers.
Okay. I am going to do that. So, do you want a Doctor Strange spoiler?
Sure. I don't know.
Okay.
I haven't watched a Marvel movie since Endgame, so I'm good.
Okay. So,
oh, wait. Anyone listening now,
if you don't want to be spoiled, you could turn it off now. And Steve will say, just to let you know, Steve will say something wacky. But I wanted to talk about this with Steve. So turn it off now. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye. One, two.
All right, here we go.
Okay. So I'm just going to, I'll do this and we'll see if you can guess.
Well, we already knew Xavier was going to be in there because of the trailer.
Xavier's in there and he's in the yellow wheelchair.
Oh,
yellow hover chair.
Shit, that's sick. Okay. And
the best part about it, Steve, is that they literally play that music when he comes on screen.
Do they? That's awesome.
They literally, he's like in our final member of the Illuminati, Charles Xavier. I lost my shit, Steve. I lost my shit. Nowhere to be found after that. That's how much I lost my shit.
That's fantastic.
I could not believe, like, I knew that they were going to put Charles Xavier in there, whatever. But
well, yeah, because he's in the trailer. You hear him. You hear his voice in the trailer. Like, you know he's in there.
But the fact that he came out in the yellow hover chair, the 90s yellow hover chair.
That's super dope.
It is dope beyond belief. I mean, there's a couple other spoilers in there. I don't have to go too deep into them, but I just wanted to say that was the one that I think it would touch the heart of any early millennials.
Yes, absolutely. You know. Absolutely. Because, I mean, I obviously watched that X-Men show. Everyone watched that X-Men show. It was like, that show was the shit.
Yes. And it's the fact they played the music.
Yeah, the music is key. That's phenomenal.
Now, I want to say, once again, I was really high watching it, so I don't know if I imagined the music. Like, I just saw that the music started playing in my head, but I'm pretty sure it was actually in there, to be fair. But yes, that was the thing that blew my goddamn mind.
That's great.
All right, so Steve, until next time.
Shit, I had prepared something, but now all I can think about is the X-Men, so I guess I'll just end it with Morph! Later.
Game Classy.